Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. President Biden's domestic policy advisor, Susan Rice, is stepping down from her post next month. The move brings to close Rice's involvement with Biden's domestic agenda, including immigration policy. Rice's last day at the White House will be May 26th. Kentucky Representative James Comer, chair of the House Oversight Committee, is reporting more relatives of President Biden will be exposed for having received money from foreign adversaries. Comer on Fox News yesterday.
Well, right now we have 9, but I believe in the end that number will be at least 12. I mean, this was the Biden family influence peddling scheme. And you know, when people say, well, they were involved in ventures around the world, I haven't found a legitimate business on the Biden end. I found legitimate businesses that were paying the LLCs that were then turning around and laundering the money back to the Bidens.
As expected, Bed Bath & Beyond filed for bankruptcy protection to wind down its business after years of losses and failed turnaround plans. The company had warned it needed a $375 million loan to get through the holidays. It struck an unusual $1 billion financing deal with a hedge fund in February, but put off bankruptcy filing, then ditched the deal and tried this month to raise $300 million from other investors. That did not work out. NBC Universal Chief Executive Officer Jeff Shell is out after an investigation into a complaint of inappropriate conduct. Effective immediately, was announced Sunday. Comcast Corporation is where he had worked for roughly 2 decades. The NBA basketball playoffs continue tonight. The Miami Heat hosting the Milwaukee Bucks will start at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The Bucks look to even the series 2 games apiece. In the nightcap, the Los Angeles Lakers take on the Memphis Grizzlies. That game is set to tip off just after 10 p.m. Eastern. The Lakers lead that series 2-1. USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Who gets your vote in 2024 if it's between President Biden and former President Trump?
Neither. That's the choice of a majority of Americans when asked if they want President Biden and former President Trump to run in 2024. An NBC News poll finds 70% of those surveyed, including just over half of all Democrats, believe Biden shouldn't run for a second term. As for Trump, 60% of those polled, including a third of Republicans, think the former president should not run again in 2024. I'm John Schaefer.
More Americans age 50 and up play video games than ever before, but they feel overlooked by the gaming industry, according to a new study by AARP. Today's online video games are being celebrated by those that used to dump every quarter in their pocket into a video arcade center back in the 80s and beyond. AARP counts 52.4 million Americans 50 and older play video games at least once a month. That equals 45% of Americans that age. A fire over the weekend sends folks heading for the exits at Disneyland in Southern California.
A giant animatronic dragon burst into flames on Saturday night. The head of the 45-foot-tall Maleficent dragon caught fire in the middle of the show Fantasmic at the Tom Sawyer's Island attraction. The production was stopped as the fire spread. Guests and cast members were ushered away, and emergency crews moved in to put out the fire. The park was packed with crowds. There are no reports, though, of injuries. I'm Jeremy Scott.
Lance Pry, USA News.
If your refrigerator, your washer, your dryer, or any other major appliance in your home breaks right now, do you have an extra $1,000 laying around to fix it or buy a new one? And hey, that's on the low end. Wouldn't you rather spend a dollar a day and make sure all the major appliances in your home are guaranteed to be fixed or replaced? Then call the Home Service Club right now for a free quote and a free month. Trust us, any major appliance in your home is guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You could spend a dollar a day and have the peace of mind and the coverage for all your major appliances. Or you could be prepared to shell out thousands of dollars or more without protection. So call right now and get a free quote and a free month. Call right now.
800-238-9153. 800-238-9153. 800-238-9153. That's 800-238-9153.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, I'm Bill Martinez. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, you can check it out, BillMartinezShow.com. America's criminal justice system, struggling, right? You know, police staffing rates have been dropping since the Great Recession. Prisons and jails are increasingly violent. Court backlogs keep growing. Essential crime data are not collected. And essential criminology research is not conducted. Yet, neither side seems interested in addressing these issues. What's going on? Well, we've got Charles Lehman. He's the Manhattan Institute Fellow who joins us now to talk more about it. Charles, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us, sir.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Okay, this is a mess. This is what political ideology does. It ends up siloing both sides. We don't connect. We render ourselves stupid in the process. And meanwhile, we're in serious trouble here with no hope that there's going to be some resolve here if we can't talk with one another and work this out.
Sure, absolutely. You know, what I like to say to people about my day job, you know, I work as a policy analyst, and I focus, I sort of lean to the right, but I work a lot with, in big cities. I work on urban policy, and that means working, you know, across the aisle, because so many big cities are run by people who lean to the left, and that's really where you end up having tractability in policy.
Exactly. Well, and it's got to be a challenge for you because you're there to do something good, and I'm sure they feel the same way, but we got to understand that, we've got to deal with reality at some point, do we not?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Well, you say that neither side, because of this siloing that's taking place, it's become a political issue, mired in bureaucracy or whatever, whatever it is. I mean, Charles, what do you see as the solution to be able to get people to come together in the interest for all concerned to be able to do something and make the most of their resources and their talents and giftings?
Look, Bill, if I had a good answer for you on that in general, I'd be a much more successful man than I am. I think that's a million-dollar question. Part of what we wanted to talk about today was public safety problem in particular. And, you know, there I think that there's real room for agreement, partially because so many voters are concerned about public safety, are concerned about rising violent crime on the left and right. I think that there's room for consensus on specifically expanding the criminal justice system's capacity to deal with violent crime. Obviously, that's a very narrow answer to your very broad question. It's an important question. But I think, there are a handful of issues like violent crime, where you can get some sort of issues like sound as a policy. We can get some sort of bipartisan consensus precisely because they affect people in the way that sort of more abstract cultural issues do not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you in spirit and what you're saying here, and you know, I think it really demands leadership that can lead the way and be able to articulate what is the vision here? What are we trying to accomplish? And there's got to be a voice or an agreement of voices coming together that say, okay, like you said, we may not be able to handle the whole enchilada, but maybe we can handle a little piece of it.
Well, I think good policymaking often tries. The bane of contemporary policymaking is issues become polarized. I don't mean that in sort of an abstract sense. I mean that usually when something comes into the public eye, it becomes much harder to get traction on the issue. If you want to get traction on a polarized issue, you basically have to reframe it in a way that you already have a pre-existing consensus around it. This is an agenda of housing. This is true, again, of taxing and spending as an abstract concept, the national debt. When I sort of think about the issue as it's important for, abstractly, I think about any given political issue as it's important to think about what is broadly popular and what can be done within the domain of what the large majority of Americans support. There's consensus on a wide variety of issues, and the trick is moving closer to those consensus points.
Well, I think you make a great point here, and that is that we should hammer the universals, right? Those things that we can all agree on. Let's focus on those, and probably those universals will probably get us, probably get us to the point we have the majority of solution, don't you think?
Well, maybe. I mean, look, I think sticking points are important. If something wouldn't be a sticking point if it wasn't a hard problem, I'm not convinced that universals will get you the majority of the solution. What I can say is that if you're looking for lack of a better term, easy political wins, easy places to have impact, you will have, there'll be less, trying to move the ball on a controversial topic is much harder than trying to move the ball on a non-controversial topic. Trying to move the ball on a place where public opinion supports you is much harder than trying to move the ball on a place where public opinion opposes you. And I think, you have to be aware, and look, many politicians are, you have to be aware of operating within the constraints of contemporary consensus. Sometimes people don't get this, and if you want to sort of push the Overton window, as it were, you can do that narrowly, you can do that occasionally, but it's much harder.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, this is why you do what you do, because it was easy, and everybody'd be doing it, right? So, this is part of the challenge is that, go back to what, President Kennedy said when he talked about going to the moon. So we have this vision to go to the moon, not because it's easy, but because it is hard.
Sure, absolutely. No. Well, and going to the moon is sort of an interesting example of bipartisan consensus building where the substance of the project is it's about government investment, it's about combating the Soviets, it's about national greatness, it sort of rides on themes that are accessible to both left and right. In a way that builds support for a large investment, a large fiscal commitment by the government to achieving some concrete goal.
Do you think, in your estimation, based on the groups of people that you're interacting with, is there agreement on the foundational issues like the Constitution of the United States?
Sometimes. I think you survey Americans, most Americans like the U.S. Constitution, and they disagree about the most controversial components of it. What does the Second Amendment mean? There's hot debate about that. What's the First Amendment mean? There's hot debate about that. Do, broadly speaking, Americans prefer the constitutional system? Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I'd have to look into the polling data. Is the constitutional system the constraint under which we live? Yeah, absolutely. We don't live under, a Westminster-style system. And so I think that it's certainly the case that those constraints are A, people sort of broadly accept them as good, and B, even if they didn't necessarily accept them as good, they'd still be the constraints that are in place. So you have to operate within that. That's true of the Constitution being in place, but more generally.
Well, and there is such a thing as amendments. I mean, if we get to the point where it's untenable and we realize that the, you know, majority of people want to make an adjustment, hey, introduce an amendment. Let's modify it to where, you know, this document was never presented as the perfect document. This was a guideline. This was a system, a governmental system in which to produce life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Sure. You know, I'm not sure there are many issues on which you could actually get a constitutional amendment through both houses of Congress and all the rest the requisite state legislatures. Abstractly, that sounds good.
Yeah. Maybe not right now, Charles. I agree. We've got to go to break. Let's pick it up from there on the other side. More from Charles.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Attention timeshare owners. Tired of the financial stress? Were you misled by the salesperson? Don't or can't use your timeshare anymore? If any of these apply to you, then you may qualify for timeshare cancellation and get the relief you need now. Timeshare Defense Attorneys is the number one affordable fixed fee legal solution in the country with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. That's certainly better than my grades. They even offer a 100% client satisfaction guarantee. Let one of their experienced lawyers evaluate your case and explain the process. If they take you as a client, they'll work on your case until it's resolved in your favor, guaranteed. Expect great service and a close working relationship with your lawyer, keeping you informed every step of the way, protecting your rights, interests, and even your credit. It's that simple. Even a kid like me can understand it. The consultation is free. Call today.
800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. That's 800-296-1332.
Fresh
and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here with you. As we've been talking with Charles Lehman, he is a Manhattan Institute Fellow. America's criminal justice system is struggling, and they have produced a new report. And Charles is arguing that America's increase in violent crime is in itself a product of fiscal neglect of the criminal justice system over the past decade. He encourages policymakers to replicate past examples of federal policymaking in which lawmakers use the power of the purse to dramatically improve the criminal justice system's capacity to control crime. Charles, break that down for us and explain how you see this happening.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, look, America is a very violent country. That's gotten more true over the past several years, but also it's always been true by comparison to our, you know, our similarly developed peers. You have much higher homicide rates, much higher rates of other violent crime. And we can fight back and forth all day about why this is, but, you know, in my view, a simpler question is, what is the appropriate level of governmental response to the specific problem of violence and violent crime? And are we doing enough, or could we be doing more? And my argument is, look, across a lot of measures, not only are we not doing enough, we're actually doing much less than we used to. So, for example, I show that no matter how you count it, the ratio of police employment to population, the number of cops divided by the number of people, has been falling steadily since the Great Recession. Our jails and prisons are getting much deadlier, even as they empty out. There are more suicides, overdoses, and homicides happening in our jails and prisons. That's a huge problem. Our courts have gotten much slower. We are investing less in the collection of basic criminal justice data. We don't really know how many crimes happened in 2021 because of a sort of an accident of timing and the failure of a rollout of a new system. We're investing way less than we used to in criminal justice research. These are all big problems in and of themselves, but they're particularly big problems because we have, again, a fairly violent country, and the costs associated with violence are dramatic, both in terms of human lives lost, but also in terms of time, money, effect on the system, et cetera. You know, my view is, look, as you alluded to, every 30 years or so, the federal government makes a big investment in criminal justice. And we're about 30 years out from the last one, the 94 crime bill. And my, you know, my view is like, look, we're due for a dramatic investment in remediating some of the problems that have emerged over the past 10, 15 years in the criminal justice system. That if we want a better system, we've got to be willing to spend a little more money on it than we currently do.
How much of a problem has the Ferguson effect and, you know, the Floyd effect had on criminality here in America?
You know, it's almost certainly a significant contributor to rising homicide over the past several years. It's a little bit hard to say, you know, what role does it play versus what role does COVID play. I used to controversy, and I really think both played a substantial role in basically reducing the capacity of the criminal justice and further to control particularly the small subset of the population that commits most of the violent crime. So, you know, it's almost in the case that the drawback of police policy and public statements are hostile to the police contributed to a reduction in social control over the past 3 years. But I think you should see that reduction in social control as part of a longer term. You know, if you go ask the police executive research forum, the think tank for policing, what they will tell you is the problem is much longer term than just the past 3 years or since the Ferguson protests. It's been going on since at least the Great Recession. That's really where the problem is.
Right. Well, but the thing is that the effect of what happened, you know, during the summer riots, the call to defund police, all this has had a very negative and deleterious effect, because it's not like we can, which some cities are realizing, going, wait a minute, we may have jumped over the Rubicon here. We need to get these police officers back. Well, when you disenfranchise police, the men in blue, to the degree that you have, boy, you've got some crisis management issues. You've got some PR issues to settle here in the midst of trying to come up with some, you know, palpable reform that is going to make sense for people. That you've got to be able to cast a vision and say, look, this is what we're going to do differently. And to make, you know, to make a profession of law enforcement you know, rise to a level of acceptance and honor, which right now, no doubt, this has been impacted because of, you know, current history.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we should understand that open hostility to the police probably is a major driver of the recent spike in homicides. It probably was the spike in homicides 2015-2016. Sort of went back down. I think we're seeing a similar pattern now where violence is starting to recede in towards the end of 2022 into 2023. That's a major contributor, but I think we also have to understand this as a longer-term problem. That's
no doubt.
Even before, look, one way to understand defund the police is that there's a fixed pot of money available for public sector employees. If you are, for example, hypothetically working with a teachers union, you may have an incentive to agitate for defunding the police department more aggressively as part of a more general decline in availability of local governmental funds. There's a general tightness in the labor market. The pool of labor available for public sector employment declines. If you go ask police chiefs, they'll say, yeah, of course defund the police is a huge problem, but also we've had a staffing crisis for over a decade. So I think you have to see both the short-term and the long-term problem.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Well, and in terms of, you talk about the jail systems and what that does. I mean, people who come out of a jail experience, and I've had this discussion with, several sheriffs, they have basically, they subordinated the jail operations to third-party entities that are wearing uniforms. They're not really sheriffs, and the way prisoners are treated in jail, this is anecdotal information here, I'm not setting this straight down as doctrine, but the way, prisoners are mistreated by men in uniform, then they come out of prison and all they see is the uniform. And it's a flashback to what, they endured and how they were treated in jail. So, I mean, this needs to be considered as well, don't you think, Charles?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of variation in the quality of prisons and jails in the United States. Some are good, some are bad. Many are particularly bad, some are particularly good. We can observe two things. One is that a number of homicides, suicides, and drug-related deaths have risen in our prisons and jails in recent years, even as the population has steadily declined since 2007. That's a census problem. But number two is that the cumulative numbers of suicide, overdose, homicide deaths are smaller than just the numbers of prisons and jails in the United States, which means if they're evenly distributed, which they aren't, there are still prisons where there's no problem and prisons where there's almost certainly a multiple problem. My point being, when you think about problems in prisons and jails, you think of the specific prisons and jails, and understand what their specific challenges are, whether they're governance challenges, whether they're funding challenges, whether they're corruption challenges, whether they're gang challenges. There's a great deal of variation there. So one of my first solutions is, look, federal government needs to invest in prison rehabilitation, but then it needs to come with a carrot and stick approach. Mm-hmm. We need to say, who's the carrot is, we'll give you some money. And the stick is, if you don't shape up, you go into federal receivership and the federal government will take over. That, I think, is how you target the worst jails, the most problematic ones, the problematic prisons, and deal with their specific problems. Because, again, they have a wide variety of problems.
Well, and you also say in the report that there needs to be an intentional expanding of research funding. We've got about 40 seconds left, and I'm going to let you summarize that. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, research is the closest thing you get to a free lunch in public policy. It's a lot we don't know about how to do policing well, how to do public safety well. We don't spend nearly as much on basic criminological research as we do on even eye health research. A dramatic increase in that funding, I think, would have disproportionate return.
Mm-hmm. Well, the report is available, and how can people access this report and be in the flow and the know, as we say, Charles Lehman?
Yeah, absolutely. It's over at the Manhattan Institute's website. That's manhattan.institute.
Here it is. Check it out. Charles Lehman, a Manhattan Institute fellow. Thank you so much for the time and insight, Charles. Take care. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
Would you like to hear better for as little as 10 cents a day? Now you can, with the all-new Audion hearing aids. The average hearing aid lasts about 3 years. Ours, at only $99 a pair, means you're paying as little as 10 cents a day to hear better. And to make things even better, we'll give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Skip the doctor and get hearing aids delivered straight to your door. We've eliminated all the middlemen to offer you a factory direct price of only $99 a pair. Join over 300,000 people just like you who took advantage of our 45-day trial offer. Now you can hear better too for just 10 cents a day. Call now and order your $99 pair of Audion hearing aids with a 45-day money-back guarantee. Plus, get free 3 to 5 day shipping.
800-577-5319. 800-577-5319. 800-577-5319. That's 800-577-5319.
USA News Update. Kentucky Representative James Comer, chair of the House Oversight Committee, is reporting more relatives of President Biden will be exposed for having received money from foreign adversaries. Comer on Fox News yesterday.
Well, right now we have 9, but I believe in the end that number will be at least 12. I mean, this was the Biden family influence peddling scheme. And you know, when people say, well, they were involved in ventures around the world, I haven't found a legitimate business on the Biden end. I found legitimate businesses that were paying the LLCs that were then turning around and laundering the money back to the Bidens.
As expected, Bed Bath & Beyond filed for bankruptcy protection to wind down its business after years of losses and failed turnaround plans. NBC Universal Chief Executive Officer Jeff Shell is out after an investigation into a complaint of inappropriate conduct. Lance Pry, USA News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. We got Semi Bird joining us, the candidate for governor of the state of Washington, speaking out against the bill that allows medical transgender interventions without parental control. He was a senior advisor to the U.S. ambassador of Bangladesh, Army Special Forces Intelligence Operations, and Special Forces Engineer. Also served on the school board for his county. Semi Bird, welcome to the show. Thank you for your service, and I appreciate the time this morning. How are you, sir?
Thank you, Bill. I'm doing well. It's an honor to be here with you this morning.
Well, let's talk about your vision for the state of Washington.
Yeah, so, you know, I love that question because a vision, an aspirational goal, if you will, to say that we want to be a state that is unified so that we can break down those divisive barriers that stop us from actually getting things done, right? We agree on approximately 93% of all the key issues: homelessness, lawlessness, the breakdown of our education system, overtaxation, the lack of economic opportunity and growth for all Washingtonians. There's a lot to do. There's a lot on that menu, but we focus on these social things that just divide us and drag us down. And so my vision is to bring unity, to bring solutions with actions, to bring our state together and start getting things done. You know, in the special operations community, we have this saying, facta non verba, deeds not words, which means we need to start taking action and stop with all the talk. Say what you mean, do what you say, get it done and get it done right. So it's a very simple approach.
Yeah, you know, most visions that are effective, they are simple, aren't they?
Yeah. Yes. They have to be achievable. They have to be realistic. You know, similar to a mission or any other goal, that has to be measurable. You need to put a timestamp on that. When do you plan on getting it done? While a vision is more aspirational and forward-thinking, you know, 5, 10 years down the road, this takes us to that next step. What is our mission? And then laying out a strategy, planning, execution, all these things are important. Keep it simple so people can see what you're doing, do it transparently, and do it inclusively. Right now, the fact that they are dividing us with this woke ideology across the nation, and certainly you could argue that Seattle, Washington is the epicenter of much of this division, we understand that we need to stop because they are dividing us, preventing us from getting things done for their own nefarious purposes. So keep it simple, get it done.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the fact of the matter is that on a federal level, a system, an infrastructure is being established and worked on that are producing results that have the majority of Americans scratching their head. And what you are providing here is a vision for an infrastructure that will provide results, expected results, that, as you say, 93% of Washingtonians agree on.
Absolutely. You know, someone asked me the other day, they said, Simi, you know, homelessness is out of control, just like the lawlessness is. What specifically are you talking about doing? And I said, I'm glad you asked. Again, we need to replace career politicians with career Americans who actually bring forth the knowledge, skills, and abilities to take action. And to what I said to this gentleman, I said, you know, first and foremost, it is so far out of control. We are burning money by the barrel loads. We need to declare a state of emergency. As Commander-in-Chief of the Washington State Army National Guard, Article 3, Section 8, I would activate the Guard. We would start to create this tent city. We will have a field hospital, something that our Air and Army National Guardsmen and women are very capable. We have all the resources, all the medical care, and we bring in those counselors, those addiction therapists, those mental health therapists, and we start to give these people their lives back. We are burning money, again, out of control. But what we're doing is giving them needles, giving them safe spaces to die in. Yeah. How does that seem compassionate or even human for that nature? We are bringing a real solution to say we're going to get them clean. We're going to get them a trade. We're going to get them a certification. We're going to partner with our business community that needs more qualified people. And we're going to match these people who now have their lives back to those businessmen and women who need good help, certified help. And then we're going to put them in a position to where they're still living in a facility where they have access to mental health and addiction therapy. And pretty soon they'll be on their own. They'll be in their own apartment. They'll be living their version of the American dream. This is just what I would consider a simple approach with backups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we know so much more than we did before. And Semi, is it possible to go back and retrace where America made a wrong turn? When we institutionalized the welfare system, it became an industry. And industries, when their natural reaction is to exist and to keep existing. So what ends up being is that the industry itself is more important than the people they serve. So my cry has been for a long time is that we need to go back to where, and you mentioned this in your statement here, where communities were involved. It was handled at the community level in much the same way. You think about immigration right now. We're trying to handle people thousands of miles away from their home country. We don't understand what kind of diseases they've been experience. We don't know what kind of actual political violence they may have experienced, but the neighboring countries do. And this is why at one time it started to be effective when we said, look, you've got to stay close to home. You've got to appeal to, maybe a neighboring country, but not to a country thousands of miles away. We're so far removed. We don't understand the way they were raised and what they were dealing. In the same way that local communities understand back in the, 20s and 30s when we went through a depression, how the people needed to be served, not to create an industry or an institution that became became a bigger problem than the one we started out with.
Oh, for a fact. Bill, there's so many things I can mention to what you covered, because you covered so much, but let's go to your latter. When you talk about it, the New Deal, right, the original, and then you say, we're bringing great services, but essentially, go forward here in 2023, you literally have a broken welfare system, which is not giving people a hand up. It's giving them a handout. It's giving them just enough money every month to stay poor, to stay poor. You're not doing any good for those folks. You're hurting them. And it's not just for the folks who are living in this current generations. It's for generations to come.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. So, and that's what, even in, on the war on poverty in the mid-60s, that was the vision that was cast by then-Senator, well, then he became President of the United States, Lyndon Baines Johnson. And so, in a sense, what was created was a modern form of slavery, was it not?
This is what I call it, a progressive plantation.
Yes.
Where these so-called progressives, which are essentially regressives are taking us back in time, taking us back to times of slavery, Jim Crow. And when you want to talk about institutions, I mean, let's understand our history. Understand what the Republican Party was about, 1854. This was the party of abolition. This was the party that ended slavery. This was the party that facilitated, with Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., civil rights in America. And then you look at the other side, Jim Crow, that President Biden likes to evoke every 5 seconds, right. He and his teammate Kamala and the KKK. That was not a Republican or conservative idea, I assure you of that. Mm-hmm. History is science, and it speaks volumes. So these institutions, now back to forward to homelessness, you have what I call a homelessness industrial complex, where you have a broken system in Washington State facilitated by broken leaders that are actually paying hundreds of millions of dollars. In Washington State, it was $800 million. And our governor, Jay Inslee, with his bad policies and non-leadership, essentially proposes to increase that tenfold going into the next fiscal year. And so what I'm saying is, we now have this institution where we're giving all this money to these so-called nonprofits that are non-accountable to anyone. No one knows where the money is going, because certainly we're seeing homelessness rise in Washington State by 10%.
Exactly.
So the system is broke because they're not accountable.
Well, it's the old business axiom, as you may recall, Sammy, and that is people do that which they get rewarded for. Okay?
Exactly.
And we're incentivizing all the wrong outcomes. It's the same thing with Bob Woodson. I asked Bob Woodson from the Woodson Research Center, Bob, we've spent close to $30 trillion since the war on poverty. What happened? And he chuckled. He said, Bill, you got to understand, 70% of that money, do you know where it went? I go, tell me. He goes, it went to the bureaucrats.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So thus is the problem, and that's what you're saying right now regarding homelessness. We got to go to break. We've got more from Sammy Bird after this. Stay with us.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again.
Ouch!
Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin 3 or more times per day, or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free, and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-823-9853. 800-823-9853. 800-823-9853. That's 800-823-9853.
How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing, to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-781-0987. 800-781-0987. That's 800-781-0987. Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried, and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez.
Minutes before the top of the hour, we're talking with Semi Byrd, running for governor of the state of Washington, a constitutional Christian conservative who started his life journey in the ghetto of East Oakland, California. Semi, the odds were against you. I mean, big time. Coming out of the ghetto of East Oakland, California, and to rise to the level of experience that you were able to accomplish as a senior advisor to the U.S. ambassador in Bangladesh, Army Special Forces Intelligence and Operations, Special Forces Engineer, Green Beret post 9/11, Bronze Star Valor, Purple Heart, Meritorious Service. I mean, the achievements that you were able to accomplish from that beginning. How did that happen?
Well, first I'll say God is good.
Amen.
My life was laid out for me before I even understood that it was laid out for me. But you know where it started? It started in the house. It started in the family. My mother. Now, my mother, this amazing and beautiful woman, sits by the side of Jesus, of God right now. And so my mother raised me to be resilient, to understand my self-worth. She raised me to have personal courage. Values. And so this woman with seven children all by herself, pre-civil rights, raised an American and not an Americant.
Right.
And what I will say to folks who are listening, my mother was a Democrat, as are most of my family. And I say the Democrats of the past would be Republicans in the future. And not to break it down along party lines, because this concept of raising children not to be victims, that is the pathway to success. That's why I have achieved the American dream with all the barriers, as one would say, that laid before me, was because my mother, within that family structure, even by herself, raised me to understand my self-worth. And I am nobody's victim. We said it early. There are certain groups who have erected this progressive progressive plantation that subjugates people, black and brown, to a lifetime of poverty and helplessness. And my mother would not have it. So I would say, yes, there is nothing that you cannot accomplish. I wrote something, and it's on my website, birthforgovernor.com. It's called A Meritocracy. It talks about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's dream and everything that he fought for and died for. He referred to the Declaration and the Constitution as magnificent documents, a promissory note to the American people, all of the American people. And yes, MLK did not talk about victim behavior. He talked about rising up. Get ahead of it. Do what God has given you and make it happen. We live in a time right now where there is nothing holding us back but ourselves.
Amen. You're exactly right, and I love what you just shared with us. You said you're a constitutional Christian conservative. Why?
Let's start with the Christianity aspect. And I don't beat people up with the Bible. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was 14. And that opened my eyes to my purpose. And then I didn't fully understand it, but I understand it now. My job is to bring love, compassion, to share my knowledge, skills, and abilities to make things better for others. That is doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. Mm-hmm. Those are Christian values. In terms of the Constitution, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, which gives power to the people. In Washington State, Article 1, Section 1, it reminds people that power is inherent in the people. And government derives its just powers from the governed. And it is government's job to protect and maintain the individual rights of our citizens. And in Washington State, this lack of leadership is not doing it. This lack of leadership at every turn is stepping on the Constitution by violating our Second Amendment rights, by isolating children from their parents, by attacking parents and labeling them as domestic terrorists. I can go on and on, but this comes from a lack of understanding of our Constitution and our founding documents. We don't need to change them. We need to reread them.
Yes.
And when we talk about conservative values, my friend, it's simply this. I love everyone. I don't discriminate against LGBTQ. I absolutely not. I never would. I know what prejudice is, and I don't prejudice against anyone. I fully reject all racial supremacy and prejudice in our society. We need to come together. So conservative values would say we understand that a person in this day and age pull themselves up from their bootstraps and accomplish the American dream, regardless of race, creed, color, or religion. That dream is there if you're willing to go get it. And government needs to stay out of the people's way. We need smaller government, not larger government. And so valuing parents' divine role as the primary stakeholders in their children's upbringing and certainly their education, this should never have to be something that we have to fight for. Mm-hmm. That should be something that is inherent going
exactly
back to our Declaration.
Well, we can't regress to the point that we look to government to be our mommy and daddy. And this is what gets us in trouble, is that this document is directed for people who believe in self-rule, that believe in self-responsibility. This is the magnet that draws people from nations around the country, around the world, I should say, to come here because they want to have a shot at life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, do they not? And what other document on the planet offers what America's Constitution offers?
That is exactly and beautifully said. You know, Thomas Jefferson said it so well. He said the qualifications for self-government in society are not innate. They are the result of habit and long training. And he said, without that habit and training, the vessel, the political vessel, is all sail and no ballast, which means that our system right now, our political establishment, and this is on both sides, they are not educated in self-governance. And so this is why we're seeing it sink as soon as they leave the dock. People need to get involved again in their communities, in their school boards, in their churches. We need to bring common sense back because we're losing it, and we're seeing that in every day. Common sense is out the window. We, the people, it's our turn. It's not having that establishment think that they can make decisions for the people. The people are better suited to know what's best for them, what's best for their families, their children, and certainly their communities.
You know, Sammy, when I hear elected officials who have been in government for decades say that the American people are not smart enough to govern themselves, to me, that is a reason to reject them on face value, get them out of office, and we need to get them replaced. This is why I'm a firm believer in term limits, because to be around this idea of power and influence, that is a drug in and of itself, and it will cause people to do things that otherwise they wouldn't do without this power and influence.
That is absolutely correct. And in Washington State, we saw a governor that took emergency powers that he was wrongly given and abused them, shut down the state, shut down our schools, shut down our businesses, shut down our places of worship. Our current governor, Jay Inslee, is the example, premier example of what abuse of a power is. And you said it eloquently, that people need to realize that if you stay quiet any longer and you don't get involved, you don't run for office, you don't serve on your school boards, you're going to see not only your children taken away, but you're going to see your freedoms taken away. And we're seeing that right now. Washington State, Senate Bill 5599, which essentially says a child can run away from home, get their sex changed, and the institutions and organizations that are facilitating this are being told to not include the parents, to isolate right. The parents. And how does that seem even in alignment with human decency? It does not. This is how far we've gotten because we've stayed silent and we kept our head in the stands. And that's why I'm saying this is the time to replace career politicians with career Americans who knows what it's like to fight for and bleed for a nation, who knows the value of the Constitution, who knows the value of freedom, opportunity, and liberty that only America provides for its citizens. We need to get it right again.
Exactly. Because what they will do is, you know, down the road, the liability for these actions by these people going around and doing an end run around the parents is going to fall back on we, the taxpayer.
Exactly.
Because lawsuits are abounding. They're starting already to come forth. You know, it would be interesting in hearing you talk about what the governor did. And this was not only just in Washington. This is in states across the country. They took advantage of the emergency authorization use. They abused it. And as a result, you said, and I agree, I mean, the data is there. Businesses were knocked out of business. Jobs were lost. People died. And, you know, there's no account for this to say this is what these states, you know, did as a result of COVID and the mismanagement of COVID. You know, and I don't know when that's going to come to the forefront here. But meanwhile, because of those mistakes, we the people are you know, we've suffered because we've lost loved ones. But then again, as if that's not enough, we're suffering because we're having to pay for their mistakes. And we've got, you know, how do we remedy? How do we help these small businesses that went out of business? They don't have jobs. Other people that were working for governments and government operations because they didn't believe in the vaccine. In the vaccine, and they lost their jobs. How does that get remedied?
Well, again, it starts with replacing these career politicians with career Americans who will bring leadership and an understanding of where the power lies. And specific to your point, in Washington State, this governor still is imposing a vaccine mandate at a time when we are short employees. We have a ferry system that tens of thousands of people rely on to get from the islands to the mainland, from, you know, Port Townsend and other places to Seattle for their daily commute, and they are short personnel. Well, that is because this governor has facilitated mandates that are terminating good employees because they are upholding their constitutional rights.
Sammy Bird, we're out of time. Your website, real quick, where can they go?
If you're concerned about the
birdforgovernor.com.
Your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you a